Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
All right, let's get into the Word of God. I've got a few minutes, but I will get into the Word of God because we came for the Word of God. We came for the presence of God, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. Can I encourage us, if you belong to Pneuma East, especially today, actually from today, I really want you to take some notes. Now, the reason I want you to take some notes is not so I can feel good about my preaching. The reason I want us to take some notes is because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to disciple all of us. So a disciple is a learner who knows that you know the truth, and the truth is the thing that creates freedom in your life and my life. The Holy Spirit does not like infotainment. The Holy Spirit is not into Christian consumerism. That is not the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit disciples. He makes disciples out of you and I. It is important that as we go on this journey, that we allow the Holy Spirit to instruct, to change us. A Christian who is not changing is a Christian who is not repenting and is hardly a Christian. So we need the Holy Spirit to constantly make adjustments. The truth is, I don't care how long you've been in the Lord. I honor you for being in the Lord 40 years or 4 minutes. It does not make any difference, because the life in the Holy Spirit is from glory to glory. It's a life of faith to faith. It is a life of ever-increasing boundaries. If a Christian is not growing, they're... You're never stagnant. You either backslide or grow. It's either a life of more and more or less and less. That's just the way it works in Christianity. So can I encourage us today? I'm going to go very fast, very hard. And it's probably going to be a little bit more boring than what you'll usually get in the future. Is that okay? Check the person next to you for pulse. If they're alive, tell them it's just going to be a little bit boring today. But it's important, because today is going to be a little bit of a foundation for many weeks to come. We're going to talk about this subject matter for many weeks to come. As a matter of fact, I don't even know when we're going to get off it. I'm not 100% sure. In the foreseeable future, probably, I don't know, maybe in the next 7 months, God will give us something different. I'm not sure. But let's start there. I want to talk to you about the kingdom upon us. The kingdom upon us. Who knows that big doors swing on little hinges? Big things in your life and my life can change, sometimes from small revelation. By the way, revelation and anointing is the only thing that a Christian needs to live out of. Can I be very truthful? In Pentecostalism, we have so much mimicking and learnt behavior and rhetoric that sometimes we just need to put all of that away and say, Holy Spirit, teach me afresh. If we're going to be authentic disciples, I need to know what I know by way of revelation. The kingdom of God is something that we really need to explore and unpack together and go into it. And it's not going to happen over one conversation, but several. See, God never created a religion. Never. Never. Neither in the Old Testament nor in the New. God created a kingdom. Matter of fact, I want to take you on a very quick journey. This is where kind of like note-taking will help. If you follow, for example, in the book of Matthew, the first gospel that we read in the New Testament, as soon as Jesus begins his ministry, from the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 to 19, he says that that time that Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The first thing that Jesus taught was the kingdom of God. You go to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, it is known as the Sermon on the Mount. We call it that, but that's not what Jesus taught. Yes, it was on a mountain. It begins with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about a kingdom. Again, you progress. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus is constantly talking about this thing, kingdom. You go to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Are you taking this down? Yeah, good. All right. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says that Jesus went into the surrounding villages and cities preaching the kingdom of God. You go to Matthew chapter 13, six parables, six stories, six illustrations. Every single one of them begins with the instruction of the kingdom of heaven is like. And then Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven. And on and on and on and on. A matter of fact, in the book of Acts, even after his resurrection, it says that he called the disciples together and for 40 days he spoke to them concerning the kingdom of God. Are you kidding me? Okay, let's rewind. Do you know that Jesus never preached on healing? He just healed people. Jesus didn't preach on the cross. He just died for our sins. Jesus didn't preach on the resurrection, but he rose from the dead. But if you follow what Jesus preached, he preached the kingdom of God. He had one main message, the kingdom of God. Yet in Christianity, here we are, it's a mystical fog. What is this thing called the kingdom of God? I want to tell you the kingdom of God, once we start unpacking it, will make you the most irreligious person in Christianity. You will no longer be religious if you start getting an understanding and a revelation of kingdom. Kingdom of God will change your relationship to all matter, to time. The kingdom of God will change your relationship to the spirit realm. Because you'll realize we are not in a horizontal tug of war, we are in a vertical chain of command. Because that's what the kingdom of God is like. It will change how you deal with the demonic. It will change how you deal with the Holy Spirit. It will change how you deal in yourself. Your purpose completely changes. Religion cannot do that. But kingdom does. That's why we're going to take a while until the penny drops and we become kingdom people once again. Matter of fact, can I tell you one more thing? Do you know that the term Christian appears in the New Testament three times? The disciples were first called Christians in the book of Acts chapter 11. It's mentioned again in Acts 26, and the final time is 1 Peter chapter 4. A Christian back then, the understanding is not how we understand it. We need to go back to the actual context. You know what a Christian was back then? That's what they got Christian. Those belonging to Christ. See, when I say those belonging to Christ, we all go, yeah, Jesus. That means Jesus. True, that's true. But it's more than that. What they meant back then of those belonging to Christ, Christ was the term used for the anointed one, the expected one. One mission that they all understood in that culture, in that context, one mission to the Christ to usher the kingdom that was promised to David back there. That's why the disciples said to him, hey, when you come back this time, are you going to usher the kingdom? They didn't really get it. He already did. So a Christian back then was the person who lived on same mission as Jesus to usher the kingdom of God on earth. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is not somebody who follows according to a pattern. They are somebody who is born of the kingdom and lives to usher the kingdom of God on earth. Wow, that changes the definition a little bit, doesn't it? It's a kingdom person. It's not a person who has a department called Christianity. It's not a person who lives for the postcode on the holiday and on the side has a Jesus genie. But he's a person that belongs to the kingdom. The disciples preached kingdom, book of Acts chapter 19 and verse 8. That's all they did. all the preaching. So let's talk about the kingdom just for a few moments before we conclude today. What is the kingdom of God? Let's start kind of there. Let's start the conversation. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, the word in Aramaic or Hebrew is Malakoth. Basilia in the original text of the Greek New Testament. And you know what? We understand that through such a Western mindset, because obviously that's our field of experience. A kingdom, we really don't have a proper understanding of kingdom because we've never lived it. We're all kind of like born in some kind of democracy, either under the rule of a president or a prime minister. So our understanding of kingdom is a little bit foggy. Kingdom, according to the Bible, is the domain, the rulership, the sovereignty of one. That's all. It is a sphere where a single one rules all things. It's a kingship, a rulership. It's an organized community. No matter how big the community is, an organized community that exists for one purpose: to execute the will of the king. Have you noticed even in the Bible when we read, the Lord is called the King of, the Lord of, he ain't the King of subjects. He's the King of kings. We're going to come to that in a minute. He's the Lord of lords. His subjects are a little bit different. You and I are a little bit different. We're going to talk about that in coming weeks as well. I want us to know that the kingdom of God, right at the basic level, has two dimensions. There's the kingdom within you, and then there's the kingdom outside of you. So if you open up with me to the book of Luke, it should come up on the screen if you don't have your Bible. I encourage you to bring your Bible. Please do to church. Book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 20. Came to pass when he was praying in a... Nope, that's not the one. Okay, book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. When he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there.' For indeed the kingdom of God is within you." This is where the kingdom begins. I need us to note that before the universal external kingdom, there's a personal internal kingdom. The kingdom of God begins in every human that is part of God's kingdom within them. It's not about who or what I do. It's about what God's done in me to establish his rule and reign. The kingdom of God happens, as Jesus said. The seed begins, as he said to Nicodemus, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot see, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." See, the kingdom of God, you enter the kingdom of God by being born again. You are recreated. That's the entry point of the kingdom of God. That's when you are translated, taken from under the dominion of the kingdom of darkness, and you're placed spiritually and positionally in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God begins to reign within us as you begin to say yes to the Holy Spirit and no to yourself. The kingdom of God begins to take effect in your life and my life as I subdue my personal agenda. I don't live for my agenda. I don't live for my purpose. I don't live for my dream. I don't live for my satisfaction. I don't live for my pursuit. I live for the dream of God. I live for the agenda of the King. I live for the pursuit of what the King wants in my life. We live in order for this whole thing called Basilia Malkotha, that I live for one purpose and one purpose only. I'm part of a divine family that is in heaven or on earth to bring the kingdom of God to earth. I live for that. And I give up my petty dreams. Now, does that mean that God won't care? No. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Right? You worry about God's kingdom, God will worry about your world. The kingdom first is within. I'd love to ask us, just reflect on this. What influence does the Holy Spirit have over your decisions? If you took your dream right now, is it God or is it selfish ambition? What kingdom? What kingdom am I living for? What kingdom? See, being a king, I can't be king and sit on a throne and belong to the kingdom of God. I have to dethrone my good self and place the true king on the throne of my inner world. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Religion will teach you be a good person. But I want to tell you, kingdom doesn't teach that. Kingdom teaches that all, every bit of me belongs to God. From the moment that I wake up to the moment that I sleep, my thoughts belong to God. My time belongs to God. My money belongs to God. My days belong to God. I'm here to serve God, not God to serve me. Kingdom is very different to religion. But the kingdom of God begins within us. And can I just say, there's an entire translation, there's an entire transference of the kingdom. Could you open up with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 13? Colossians 1:13. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Anybody glad about that? Seriously, was anybody happy living under the dominion of Satan and the demonic? Huh? Thank you for your blood, Messiah Jesus. Come on now. Hey, this ain't an old story. It's not a doctrine of the past. It's the living reality of sons and daughters. We ain't under the dominion of Satan, that's for sure. But he has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, you and I belong to an entire other kingdom. If he's going to be king, that word is Adonai, Lord. That means ruler, the one who calls the shots in my life. Can I be really honest with you? We have distorted Christianity. We've made it like Christianity is a co-shared thing between God and I. It's not. Christianity, true kingdom Christianity, is a total displacement of oneself and the given over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and come follow me. How could I be a follower if I'm the leader? You know what we do with our lives? We set the pace and we set the agenda and we invite God into it. That's religion. Kingdom is when God sets the agenda. God sets the pace. God says your yes and God says your no. He leads and you follow. That's actually what kingdom is. That's why Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christianity is a substitution of who's alive. It really is. That's kingdom talk. But maybe today, let's begin just moving on a little bit. There's the kingdom of God within me, but the kingdom of God comes to me because the kingdom of God wants to come through me. You know, I am not an end in myself. You are not an end in yourself. Even though to God you are precious and altogether lovely, God's plan includes you, but it's not just you. God's plan is to you and through you. God's plan is that the kingdom of God, which is beautiful, be established in you, and then through you, you become a kingdom conduit. How does the kingdom of God effectively infuse the surrounding world through my life and your life? How many of us desire to be effective for Jesus? Give me a wave. Good, that's 10% of a church. What about everyone else? God intends to bless you and make you a blessing. God intends to pour out His Spirit on you and make you a carrier of revival and the Holy Spirit. Don't limit yourself. Don't draw this little circle around your world. That's a lie from the devil. God has given you dominion. We'll see that in just a moment. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you honor him? You have crowned him with glory. God intends for every single child of God to be a kingdom carrier. Now, how do we carry kingdom? In coming weeks, we're going to talk about what it is for Christ to live in me. What it is to live with Christ-like character in the midst of a dark world and express kingdom through a difference that is so countercultural that arrests the kingdom of darkness in your work, in your family, in your situation. The kingdom of darkness will be subdued because the people of God are filled with the King Himself. In coming weeks, we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to tear down idols and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And the beautiful thing is, it is accessible to 100% of people in this room. There is no such thing as a first-class and second-class Christian. There is no such thing as a professional Christian. No such thing. We're all sons and daughters and have access to an open heaven under the blood of the covenant. Whether 3 minutes or 3 decades in the Lord, the prodigal son returned before he can even set foot inside. The father was already saying, bring out the best robe, bring out the signet ring, bring out the sandals. From day one, the Holy Spirit is not reserved for a few. I'll pour out my Spirit on sons and daughters. That's everyone. But you know, today, for the next 7 minutes, I want to talk to us about just the start. Just the start. One thing that we can all begin to step into as kingdom people. I want you to open up with me to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Book of Luke, chapter 11. Came to pass that when Jesus was praying, when he had seized that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I just want us to stop there for just a tick. Now, there's a lot of things the disciples could have asked of Jesus. Would you agree? Now, if you walked with Jesus for a while, I don't know about you, but I'd be like, hey, could you teach me how to walk on water? Like, I really like it. Like, maybe I could just, you know, on water. That'd be, like, cool, right? Don't you think? And for those who have a gift of hospitality, they'll be like, hey, you know when you broke bread and it fed 5,000? Could you teach me to do that? How cool was it when he raised Lazarus from the dead, right? The man's name and two commanding words, Lazarus, come forth. And somebody who's decaying in the Arabian desert for 4 days comes out all good. I'm like, dude, do a workshop on that, right? Like, if I'm going to follow you, do a workshop. Give us a Saturday. Download, right? God, I don't know. What's your favorite miracle? What's your favorite? You know, they never asked him any of that stuff. They never asked him any of that stuff. They just said, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, out of all the things you could have asked Jesus, they're asking Jesus, teach us to pray. You know why? You know why? Here's what they saw. No, we'll talk in coming weeks about how he prayed differently. There's a difference between religious prayer and kingdom prayer. Saul was praying all his life, and it was falling on deaf ears with God. But then there was one prayer, and then he sends Ananias, "Behold, go to Saul. Behold, he is praying." There's a difference between kingdom prayer and religious prayer. We'll talk about that in the future. They were like, you know what? We've realized that when you pray, there's something so different. When you pray, you seem to be really intimate with the Father, and you seem to be really commanding with his enemies. When you pray, you spend hours in prayer, and it's not about the number of hours. It's about the intimacy, the flow, the presence, the soaking. But then it made your minutes with men so effective. Could you teach us to pray? We've realized that how you pray, you don't pray like we pray in religion. You pray with kingdom authority. Could you teach us to pray? Could you teach us to pray? Because we've realized that is the epicenter of everything that you are and do. We've realized that. Lord, teach us to pray. And that's why in coming weeks, we're going to talk about kingdom prayer. As a matter of fact, we're going to become a kingdom prayer church. We're not going to say some prayers. We're going to go after kingdom prayer, and you'll see everything change. You'll see the eastern suburbs change. You'll see people that you've been praying for come to Jesus. You'll see the sick healed in the mighty name of Jesus. You'll see the power, the river of the Holy Ghost that he intends on the church. The church is not insipid. That's a lie. The church is an almighty river, a force filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Mm-hmm. So they're like, Lord, teach us to pray. Can I have another 5 minutes? Is that okay? Because I'd hate to just cut this last bit short. Okay. Here's the thing about kingdom prayer. I want to take us back. I'm just going to jump a little bit. But I want to take us back all the way to the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 27. It's not going to come up on the screen, but if you've got your Bible there, this is where the Lord says, "Let us make man in our image, in our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the birds, etc., etc., over the cattle. Let them have dominion." I want us to know that when God created you and I, God's initial plan for you and I is that you and I would have dominion. Dominion is a sphere of control. You get that? It's a sphere of control. Do you know, according to Psalm 116 and verse 15, it says, "The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but earth he has given to mankind." Hello? Hello? Okay, what are we saying, Lord? That's why he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, because he has delegated his dominion to run earth on his behalf. Do you know that you and I, we are the prime movers of the will of God on earth? Through prayer. That's why he said, when they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," he said, "Okay, when you pray, say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth." You know, you can pray things to bring them back into right order. Disease or disease comes from disorder. God has commissioned sons and daughters with dominion. He has delegated. He will not do it for you. You and I need to get up and do it ourselves to literally bring back kingdom order into situations through prayer. So, you know, sometimes we see somebody sick and we say, "Oh, hope the Lord heals them." Is that what the Lord said? Is that what the Lord said? Come on. Oh, but I'm working hard up here. Give me something. That's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, "Heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, preach the gospel." That's actually what he said to the church. You know what the Lord said to the church? "I give you the keys of the kingdom." whatever you, not me, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And in case you think he said it to Peter alone, as it is in Matthew 16, 19, 18 and 19, read Matthew 18 and 18, exact same thing to the entire church. Whatever you bind, where? On earth. So where does it begin, heaven or earth? Earth, right? It's not a trick question. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Because the delegated sphere, God honors your delegated sphere. That's why when the Lord even came to deal with what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, He didn't do it direct. He said, how could I do this thing unless I talk to Abraham? Because that's a delegated sphere. That's how kingdom works. Kingdom has kingdom order. And that's why I was telling you in the beginning, we're going to learn about this word, very significant, called hupotasso, which the Lord used with his disciples, which is a vertical chain of command. They realized, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. Subject is the word hupotasso. It means that we have realized that it's not a horizontal tug of war with the demonic. It's a vertical chain of command and we're higher. So we, on your behalf, cast out demons. We, with your authority that is conferred, go back to the original intent that he made man and gave him dominion, a sphere, to bring back things into kingdom order. So we're going to go on this journey of bringing back some stuff into kingdom order. Kingdom order within us. It's going to begin by this bitter thing called repentance. Is that okay? I really want to commit to you this. I'm repenting all the time, right? There's no shame. As a matter of fact, repentance should never be an event. That's not kingdom. Repentance is the continued adjustments that I need to make in my heart, mind, affection, life, decisions as I follow. That's what repentance is. It's like changing my thinking because I'm not going to change the truth to suit me. I'm going to change to suit the truth. It's going to begin there, but then it's going to go on. It's going to domino effect. What things need to come back into right order when it comes to family? What things need to come back into right order when it comes to my ambition, my goals, my purpose? What things need to come back into right order when it comes into how I operate or what I believe or embrace? What things need to come into right order in situations where the Lord has specifically placed you sovereignly so that you and you alone could bring kingdom order into it? We'll learn how to pray some stuff because the Lord said, whatever you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Lord promised, the signs that I do, you will do also. Ask, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the power of kingdom prayer, and we're coming to that in upcoming weeks. I better have the worship team come join me, otherwise I'll preach till dinner. So come help these people out, worship them. Maybe today we can make a beginning on this kingdom trajectory. Let me say something to you that I reckon we just need to constantly live. It's not a one-off. It's not a Sunday. It's just how we live. When the Holy Spirit speaks from His Word, when the Word of God comes to you and I, as followers of Jesus, have one of two decisions to make. We can allow that word to be consumed. We can allow it to inspire us. We can allow it to entertain us. We can allow it to mentally stimulate us. We consume it. Or we can assimilate it, which is not only about ingesting it, but it's about, God, what do I need to do with that? What are you saying to me not just informing my head. What are you saying to my entire personhood? What response do you need from me? Whether I'm young or old, male or female, it doesn't make any difference. What are you saying to me, Holy Spirit? How do I assimilate that into my life? I want to give you 30 seconds. I'd love for every eye to be closed. I'd love for you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how do I assimilate that? What do I do next for the next 30 seconds? Good. God's already starting to talk to so many of us. Please, whatever God tells you, please note it. Please pray on it during the week. Please begin to assimilate it, because it's not the voice of a preacher or this or that. We don't have Christian celebrities. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit that has spoken to you in the quiet, that said to you, this is what I want, son, daughter. This is what I'm saying to you specifically. How beautiful it is that God would talk to every single one of us.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.